talking a little bit about Christmas and its meaning. Let's pray, though, first. Lord God, we give you thanks for this time to hear from your word. We pray that you would remove any distractions, hindrances from our minds that would keep us from hearing from you this night. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I celebrated this month 5 years here in ministry. Great blessing of God, and you can clap for that. Great, thank you. It's been a true blessing to be able to serve the Lord here, and many of you know me, and for some strange reason, when I'm out in the community, I seem to attract conflict and controversy. You know, early on here, I was kicked out of the car wash. Down the street, I met a guy who cut in front of me in line, I told you, at Harbor Freight Tools. And it happened again. And I don't know what it is. I've tried to live an upright and holy life. And yet, I don't know. These people, maybe I'm tagged on the top of my forehead. Is it give me trouble or something like that? But it was in October, and I was taking my two boys deer hunting. We pulled into the 7-Eleven right here on the corner of, Jadwin and Van Giesen. I ran in, grabbed a couple of bags of ice, because that's all we needed. Zeke pulled down the tailgate and got the cooler ready. I walked back with the ice, we put it in, and I get back into my car, and all of a sudden, the guy in the car next to me, who's looking over his hood, starts raising his fist and yelling at me. And Zeke's like, "Dad, what'd you do?" I said, "Well, I don't know." So I rolled down my window, and I said, "Sir, is there something I can do for you?" And he says, "You hit your mirror with my mirror with your car door." I said, "Well, I just got in. I'm sure that I didn't do that. I wasn't that close to him, and I knew that when I closed my car door that it didn't hit his mirror, but he insisted on it." He said, "No, you hit my mirror." And I said, "Well, maybe, sir, because of your perspective, it looked that way, but I didn't hit it." And so he walked around and he showed me his mirror. "Look, see, this is where you hit it." So I got out and I looked at his mirror and I saw nothing. I said, "Sir, there's not even a scratch or a mark or anything on your mirror." I said, "I have a big, heavy truck and these are steel doors. If my door hit your plastic mirror, we'd see that." "Oh, no, you hit my mirror." So I thought, well, this is just some crazy dude. I might as well get on my way. So I get in my truck, and I'm backing out, and he runs out to where I was parked, and he says, "Hit and run, hit and run." I just want to get up to the mountains and hunt deer. He starts taking down my license and says, "I'm calling the police, hit and run, hit and run." I'm like, "Oh boy, well, this can't work out good if I pull away, because then who knows what he's going to do. I'm not sure he's playing with a full box of crayons at this point." I pull to the other side and I get out and I said, "Sir, what is it exactly that you want me to do?" And he says, "I want your license and your insurance info." No. No, that is not going to happen. That doesn't go well with me, because now he has my information. And so he's saying, "I'm calling the police if you leave." So I just called the police myself. I called the non-emergency number. I said, "Hey, I'm here at 7-Eleven. I got this guy that's accusing me of something I didn't do." And they said, "We'll send an officer right out." And so the officer comes. And the police officer asked me what's going on, and I'm still in a fog. I told him, "I'm not really sure. He says I hit his mirror. I didn't hit his mirror." And so the officer goes over to him, and he gives this whole elaborate story of how my car door hit this guy's mirror. So the three of us walk over to the mirror, and the officer says, "Sir, there's no damage to your mirror." "Yeah, but he hit it with his door." He said, "But there's nothing wrong with your mirror. I don't see that could have happened." And then the officer walked him over to my door and he said, You know, look at his door. There's no red paint on his door. And the guy said, yeah, but look down here. And in my door, you know, that's an older truck, 2008, and there was a big ding in my door that took it down to the metal. Now, a plastic mirror is not going to do that to my Ford F-250 without any damage to that mirror. But no, that's not good enough. So we walk back to the mirror, and it gets better. He reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out a tape measure. Now he's measuring up to his mirror. He walks around. He measures up to my truck. He walks back. He measures his mirror. He walks back, and he measures my truck. And it's obvious there's like 3 inches difference from that little mark to his mirror. And then he turns to me and the police officer and goes, "See?" And the officer said, "Sir, we're 3 inches off." "Yeah, but he was on the other side," he says. You can tell the officer's patience is wearing at this point. And he says, "Sir, there's not a 3-inch hole on the other side of your car." The officer finally, in exasperation, says to him, "Sir, it's obvious to me, having done this," he says, "I'm somewhat of an expert. I've been in the traffic division for well over 20 years investigating accidents. And it's clear to me that his door did not hit your mirror." And then the guy says, "Well, I don't care what anyone says. I know the truth. His door hit my mirror." I left. Now, why do I tell you this story? Perhaps, maybe, first off, it's a warning. If you want to hang out, I'm totally down for that. But you better be good with conflict and controversy. But number two, and I think most importantly, it's because this story illustrates for us the uncanny ability in human beings to believe our own truth, not the truth, even when the evidence is stacked against us. That's what he did. He believed his own truth, even when the truth, after measurement, inspection, examination, led to a different conclusion. Friends, tonight we remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus in the manger, the truth of what God has done through grace, through the appearing of the baby Jesus in the manger. We have done centuries of measuring, examining, investigating, studying, inspecting, scrutinizing, and observing this child in the manger. And we have overwhelming evidence that this child in the manger is much more than a little baby. It's as the angels announced to the shepherds, "This is the Messiah, the Lord." So hear the truth tonight. That's what we're talking about, the truth of Christ. That's why we gather, to hear this message again. The truth is this, that through the birth of Jesus, God has brought us salvation through his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. Salvation has come once and for all. Do you think we'd be gathering 2,000 years plus after the birth of a child just because that's what we do? That'd be silly. No, we know the truth that salvation was born on Christmas Day. We also know this truth, that not only has God acted in the past, but God continues to act in the present. I was kind of shocked and surprised after all of these historic terrorist events of how our society is reacting to the world around us. There was more than one article that read, "God is not here." Did you read any of those? There were many of them. People crying out, how could a loving God cause this to happen? Or how could a loving God allow this to happen? They would say, God has left the building. But the reality is that we don't take that approach. That as Christians, we know that that baby in the manger still lives with us this day. That Christ is equipping us for daily living. Just this week, I was reminded of the gift of the presence of God, of the presence of Christ in our lives. Mary Armatis, a friend of mine, a member of our congregation, 18 months ago was diagnosed with pre-cancer cells in her body. And so she went on the prayer list, and God's people started to pray for Mary. 17 months later, a month ago, Mary goes back to see her doctor. The mass has grown. He's convinced that these precancer cells are now cancer cells, even though she's been on hormone therapy. And he says, Mary, we got to go in and get this. 2 weeks ago, Mary goes in, has surgery. They take a biopsy. This week, Monday, Mary went to see her doctor for the results. She walked into the office, afraid, not knowing what exactly he would say to her. Doctor, in shock and surprise, says to Mary, we didn't find any cancer cells. And not only that, but we didn't find any precancer cells either. You're completely clear. The doctor said to Mary, Mary, you know, this doesn't happen. I don't ever see this. What was the difference? Is it luck? I don't think so. Is it coincidence? Maybe the doctor misread? No. This is evidence. This is making the measurements. This is doing the investigation and coming to the conclusion that this baby in the manger, this Jesus, is still powerful today and heals through prayer. Now, not every time. And so when we pray and there's not a healing, that doesn't disprove God. But hear the truth again tonight, that God is alive and active today in this present age. Sometimes we just need to open our ears and our eyes that we might hear and see. And lastly, because God has appeared in the manger, not only in the past and bringing salvation, not only in the present and bringing salvation, but also in the future, this Christ will return. The glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be evidenced in His second coming. This is a future application of the truth that the kingdom has begun, but it is not yet in its fulfillment. So, this is what I would encourage you to do. I think many of you now have 3 days off, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or at least most of you. You have 3 days to consider. What I would like you to do is to consider two questions. You can talk about this as with friends or family, with your kids, with your spouse. But the first question I'd like you to consider this Christmas is, will you investigate, measure, inspect, and examine the evidence about Jesus? I got to give the guy at 7-Eleven some credit. He was off to a good start. If he thought that I had hit his mirror with my door, he should investigate that. And that's kind of a serious claim. So to pull out the measuring tape, to look at the evidence, to examine it, to do some investigation, to call out an expert, that was all good. But the problem was that he didn't give up his own truth. So the first question I'd like you to entertain is, will you investigate Jesus? The second is then, and maybe most importantly, will you give up your own truth for the truth? It's hard to do. We like to think we're right. And to give up our own truth means we have to surrender and submit to the truth of God. But friends, Whether it was pride or arrogance or ignorance or deception, this man didn't go far enough. And whether it's our pride or arrogance or our ignorance or deception, we don't go far enough if we continue to live in our own truth and not the truth. And so this Christmas, if you do these two things, I truly believe for many of you, if not most or all, that the baby in the manger, this grace of God who has appeared, he will change your life forever. Amen. We continue to worship now as we receive our tithes and offerings.